We're in a series, a teaching series, where in our church we move through topics that we talk about over a period of time. And today we're talking about a topic called I Love My Church. I Love My Church. We're talking about some of the core values, our DNA of our church, and seeing how they can not only impact our church, but also impact our lives. And so we're partway through our series. But in order to set up where we're going today, before we open up the Bible together, I wanted to settle once and for all a couple of contentious debates. So I need some help from some of you today. Have we got any soccer fans, any football fans in the room? Okay, fine. All right, first one you're going to have to help me out with. So the first debate I just need to settle is this. Liverpool versus Man United. Okay, so just give me a shout if it's Liverpool. Are we? Okay, all right, settle down. Any Man United people? Okay. I think Aston Villa took it, my team, so sorry. That's fine. I couldn't put Villa up on the screen because no one else would have shouted, so I would have been my... Okay, next one up, I just want to check, contentious debate. Next one is a Gatsby or Bunny Chow? Gatsby or Bunny Chow? So just is there anyone, let me just check, is there anyone who's going to claim that Bunny Chow is better in the room? Okay. Huh? All right. Okay, anyone for the Gatsby then? Yeah! Fine. Now, I'm going to put the last one up. It's a bit unnecessary to put this up. But you know Joburg people when they come through and they tell you that it's better? I know. I just got to check. So anyone in the room want to claim in Freedom Church Cape Town this morning? You didn't let me finish my sentence, but Cape Town was good. Anyone going to claim in this wonderful church in Cape Town that Johannesburg is a better city? Oh, come on. There had to be one. There had to be one. All right. We're praying for you. We're gonna pray that Jesus opens your eyes, brings freedom in your life in this area. Come on, somebody. The reason I want to introduce that is because I've grown up in church a lot of my life. And there's been this, like, popularized debate in the church. And I think it's a little bit silly, but I want you to work with me on it. There's been this popularized debate, and I've even, like, seen pastors sit down and debate this stuff. And I actually think that some of us ask this question even in our church here, but also in, like, churches all over the place. People are asking this question, and the question is this: are we a discipleship church or an evangelism church? Like, people will set up in the same way that we're either United or Liverpool. People will set up, like, are we a discipleship church or are we an evangelism church? And if you're new to church, you're like, what does that mean? Why do I even care about this? Let me just explain to you what I mean by this. For the stereotypical idea of a discipleship church would be a church that primarily focuses on teaching the Bible in a deep way. People use words like, we want a deep Bible teaching. And sometimes it confuses me, but that's fine. Deep Bible teaching, and we're going to study the Word, and we're going to primarily be focused on discipleship, and we're not going to be as focused on reaching new people for Jesus, but we're going to be primarily... this is a stereotype, okay? I'm kind of bundling it in. And then evangelism church, which means reaching new people for Jesus, would stereotypically be, we're going to create environments for new people to connect to Jesus, and we're going to be primarily focused on connecting new people to Jesus, but we're less focused on the deep Bible study or teaching people to follow Jesus. Again, stereotypes. That's the extremes. And the reason I want to bring this up is because I even know that within our church, there will be questions, and I've had questions, you know, over the last year and a bit. Our church has grown. and we've seen lots of new people come into our church. And so then we'll have a time where we'll say, hey, let's invite some more people to join us in church. And I have some questions like, why don't we just take care of the people inside of our church? Why don't we just focus here? Why are we focused on reaching more people? Why don't we just focus here? The problem, obviously, for those people was that those people came to our church when we were trying to reach them. But as soon as we've reached them, they want us to stop reaching more people. Because now we need to take care of the people here. But it is an important question. I'm not dismissing the question because it's an important question. I think it's a slightly ill-framed question. Let me explain it this way. Is a hospital primarily a place for surgeons to do surgery, or is it primarily a place for A&E departments and for people to get there from an ambulance? What's the primary focus? The answer is both. The without being able to get, like, we can do surgeries, but if there's no new people coming into the A&E department, we're going to run out of people to do surgeries on. But if we only ever get people into A&E, and then we're like, hey, I've listened to your chest. Good luck, buddy. Keep going. Some of those people need surgery. So it's a misunderstanding of what it is to build church, to frame these as two separate ideas. And the reason I want to start this message out this way is we're talking in this series about the culture of our church. What makes us who we are as a church community? And I think a fundamental thing that makes us who we are is this idea that we cannot be fully discipled unless we are engaging in evangelism. That a key part of your discipleship into Christ is telling other people about Christ. Let me show you a verse to prove my point. Can I do that? Can we look at the Bible together? Philemon 1 verse 6. Paul is writing and he says this. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. So this is Paul's goal when he's writing. The sharing of your faith may become effective. How? By the acknowledgement, by the recognition, by the looking at my testimony, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That a key part of your discipleship, a key part of when you acknowledge with gratitude, we were just singing the song, when I acknowledge with gratitude the work that Jesus has done in me, something has to happen. And what is it that Paul says has to happen? I have to tell someone else about it and be effective in sharing my faith. That's what has to happen. Paul's saying, if you acknowledge what Jesus has done in your life, it can't then just stay there. Or you are not being fully discipled into Christ. And so the setup that I made is actually an incorrect setup. You cannot be a discipleship church or an evangelism church. The two are meshed together. That in becoming more like Christ, I must tell others about Christ, or I am not becoming more like Christ. And so this is right at the heart of who we are. I was thinking about this. There's a story in the Bible when Jesus sets a man free. He's on this boat. The storm is going crazy around him. Jesus, it's this story when Jesus is asleep in the boat, if you're familiar. And his disciples are freaking out. They're like, Jesus, wake up. What are you doing? He says, hey, chill, guys. It's fine. Paraphrase, by the way. I'm not sure it's quite what he says. But he says, chill, it's fine. Calms the storm, stills it. And then they head across the lake. And they find this man. And we don't have his actual name, but the name we do have for him is called Legion. And the reason he's called Legion is he's possessed by so many evil spirits that the spirits respond to Jesus and say, we are legion for we are many. And so Jesus sets this man free. He delivers him. He sets him free. And then Jesus then says, the man says to Jesus, hey, can I come with you? Come and disciple me. Can I come with you? And Jesus, he doesn't say, what he's not saying in this moment is, I don't want to disciple you. He finds another way in which to make him more like Christ. Let's read these verses. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. So this man's just been set free, and it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, the Decapolis means 10 cities, in the Decapolis, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. So the way that this man started to become more like Jesus was by effectively sharing his faith. Let me tell you this. There's nothing that will grow your faith like sharing your faith. Because you're there and you're like, okay, you're on your way to work. And I know, I want to share my story with someone. This is what Jesus is telling this man. Go and tell your testimony. Go and tell your story. And let me just pause for a second. There are some testimonies in this room this morning. There are some stories in this room this morning. There's some stories from people who are watching online now. I know some of your stories, but you know what I was reflecting on when I was thinking about this message? I don't know if I hear enough of your testimonies. I don't know if I hear enough of you publicly, our church family, us as a church family, publicly sharing about the things that Jesus has done for us. Sometimes we can get so caught up in my current wrestles, my current challenges, the current areas of need I have, that we forget about all the things he's already done. All the ways he's already freed me. All the ways he's already healed me. All the ways he's already restored me. And so I think when we take our story and we start going and telling other people, guess what's going to be challenged in your life? Fear. Some of us, we say, man, I want to overcome fear. Great. Share your story with someone about what Jesus has done in your life. It's like, ooh, I don't know about that. I'm a bit scared. Exactly. The fear of rejection. You want to overcome that? Start sharing your story. There's so many ways in which that when we start using our testimony, not only does it impact other people, it also ministers to us. That the effective sharing of our faith will do something of discipling us to become more like Christ. I think one of the things I've been praying about, and Meg and I have been praying about, is we are desperate to see more people in our city connect to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And can I throw out something bold to us? Now, I want to preface this by saying it's entirely possible that this doesn't happen. Okay? Entirely possible. Let me say even likely that this doesn't happen. But Meg and I have been praying, and we've been saying, what if regular on a Sunday morning by the end of the year, we have 400 people coming to our church? What if we saw that? I think there are so many people. One, it will disciple us to become more like Jesus. And two, there are so many people who are in need of this. How are we going to get there, though? If we grow like that, if we connect more people to Jesus, how's that going to happen? I think it's going to be because of the DNA I want to talk about today. And the DNA, the core value I want to talk about today is this: relentless reaching. Relentless reaching. This is a core part of who we are as a church. And relentless reaching says this: we persistently share the hope and salvation of Jesus with our family, friends, and communities. We won't stand by and be silent about the truth and love God has for this world. Relentless reaching. I want to encourage us to grow as a church when it comes to this idea of relentless reaching. And so I do have a title. I know I'm like halfway through the message, but I want to give you a title for the message for those of you who like a title. Okay, let me give you one. Here's the title for the message today if you want one. The title is this: Why We Care. Why We Care. I want to talk to us today, for the remainder of the time that we have together, about three reasons that we care about your friends, your family, and our community. Because Relentless Reaching, the whole concept, the whole idea of this DNA is us saying we care as a church corporately, we care about your friends, family, and our community. That we want to share a message of hope and salvation. We care. So why do we care? Why is it that we should care? I was thinking about sharing a message today, and I felt like I could come up and maybe preach to you something to inspire you in your journey of reaching people with the love of God. But what I want to actually do today is teach us a little bit about why we should care. Can I do that? I want to teach us a little bit about why we care, and I think why we should care. Because sometimes I can preach you a message and it's going to get you fired up for a minute, and then tomorrow morning you've lost all of that passion. And I want to teach you something today that I pray sticks with you. And so if you take notes, today's a good day to take notes. If you don't, I'm sure you're fantastic at memorizing everything I say. I'm sure you never forget anything. So here's the first reason I think we should care. I want to jump into the deep end with us for a moment this morning, church. We care because of eternity. We care because of eternity. I think it's easy when you're preaching from the stage, and easy even for us as Christians and believers sometimes, to avoid talking about eternity, because we want to talk about the nice things that Jesus can do for us here on earth. It's a bit more comfortable. But I think the truth is, if we don't talk about the eternal nature and the eternal stakes when it comes to salvation, I think we completely miss the purpose of the cross. Let me say it this way. The cross of Jesus was not a nice thing he did. It was a necessary thing he did. Some of us, when we talk about what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can say, we're grateful. That was nice. That was good. That was important. No. This was necessary. Let's just backtrack for a moment. When Jesus went to the cross, the situation the world found itself in is that sin had entered the world, that God's people had these sacrifices they could make to get to God, but really, they were always on the back foot. They could never truly be close to God because they were always having to make these sacrifices. It was an impossible task to get close to God. Why? Not because of God, but because of sin. The things we'd done, the things we thought distanced us from God, because He is a holy God. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. And our sin keeps us separate from Him. And so the Bible says, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. But that only happened because of the cross. Let me show you some verses from the Bible to kind of build on this. I want to show you one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. But we're going to read a couple more verses. We like John 3:16. John 3:18 make you sweat a little bit. But let's have a look together. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get to verse 18. Now we're going to sweat. Next verse. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's like, who's... Surely Jesus isn't talking in verse 18. I like the Jesus in verse 16, but I'm not sure about the Jesus in verse 18. It's like, this is the necessity of the cross. It wasn't a nice thing to do, it was a necessary thing. The promise of the Bible is this, that when we are in Christ, we are promised eternal security, eternal peace, eternal life with Christ. And this very short period of time we have here on earth, this drop in the ocean compared to eternity, will dictate how we live for the rest of eternity. And let's be clear, the opposite is also true. That if we are not in Christ, if we choose to reject the message of Jesus, the good news about Jesus, then the Bible says that we will spend eternity away from God. And the Bible says that that place is called hell. So if you ask me, why do we care? Why do we care about reaching more people? Why don't we just, you know, shut the doors, just make sure we're all good, make sure we're doing some nice Bible studies, make sure we're all happy in here. Why do we care? It's because eternity is at stake. It's because those of us who know people who are currently far from God, the Bible says that we are the ones who get the opportunity to share about a message of hope with them. That because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to go and take the good news to people. And we can try and wriggle out of that. Well, that can make us uncomfortable. We can try and say that someone... No, that's for people with the gift of evangelism. I don't know. I think the Bible says that we're all called to go and take this message of hope to those around us. Why do we care? Because eternity is at stake. Please don't miss it. You know, maybe you're here today and you'd say, I've not been following God. I've been distant from Him. I'm not even sure if I've believed in Jesus. Let me be clear what we believe that the Bible teaches. We believe eternity is at stake. We believe that you have an opportunity just by saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I believe in Him. I want to make Him my Lord, which means that I want to put Him in charge of my life. I want a relationship with Him, that we get to be with Him for eternity. I mean, that's why every time, every week, if people respond to the gospel, that's why we celebrate. That's why I encourage it. Hey, let's clap, let's celebrate. Why? Because this matters. Congratulations, a new member of the club. That's not what we're doing here. This matters eternally. And so I want to encourage you. Who in your life needs this? Why do we want to grow our church? Because we want to make it all about us. No, it's not about us. It's about everyone else outside of this place finding life in Christ. That's why this matters. Are you with me this morning, church? This matters. This matters. Can I give you a second reason why I think this matters? The second reason that I think this matters is because we get to have the fullness of life now. The fullness of life now. Let me read you a verse that I've read many times, but I love this verse in John 10, verse 10. It says, the thief, Jesus is talking, he says, the thief, our spiritual enemy, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Here's what Jesus is saying here. The promises of eternal life, the promises of heaven, all of that inheritance that is coming our way, we get to have it now. We get to step into the blessing of it now. How amazing is that? To be clear, this does not mean that when you give your life to Jesus, that you just get to spend the rest of your life skipping through a meadow of flowers and everything's easy and it's just... Oh, wow, this is... No, we're still going to fight. We're going to still have challenges, but here's the promise. When we go through those things, we walk with Him in it. He's enough. What is the fullness of life? Is it your nice, big balance in your bank account? Is it a nice house, or is it a nice car. No, that's not going to give you fullness. What's the fullness of life? Being with Christ. That when you walk with Him, He's going to show you who you really are. That when you walk with Him, I love one of the songs we sing in church. We say, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame, what, for the joy of the Lord. That I get to make these exchanges, that I don't need to live under the oppression, the weight of these things anymore. There's a promise of more for me. So not only is there a promise of eternal life and eternity, He also says, here and now. The Holy Spirit, we see the fruit of the Spirit. Fruits of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, self-control, gentleness. We get to experience and step into the promise of these things. It's not a, yeah, this is for some people. This is for good. No. If you're in Christ, you get to step into these things. So let me ask you a question. Who in your life today do you know who needs the fullness of life now? Eternity is at stake, but it's also the life we live today. The fullness of life now. That's what I want to see for my friends. I don't know about you. If I'm really a friend, like if I'm a, you know, I kind of know someone. Maybe I'm not so moved by their circumstances, but if I'm friends, if I'm connected to someone, I'm like, man, you're just missing what I have found to be the truth. Jesus says of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will get to the Father except through me. You can try it. People can try every other route, every other avenue. Here's what I've found. Here's what many of us in this church have found. He's the only way. He's the only way to the fullness of life now. So you don't need to wait for one day, I'm going to step into freedom. It's available now. Why do we care? We care because I want that for the people of Cape Town. I want the people of this city to find the fullness of life now. Not to wait until the day they die so they can step into eternity, but the promise of the Bible is you can have it now. But there's one more thing, there's one more reason why we care, why I care, that I want to give you today. And that reason is this. This is our mission. The gospel must spread. This is our mission. As followers of Jesus, this is our mission. Some of you will be familiar with the phrase, the Great Commission. The end of the book of Matthew, one of the gospels, Jesus is talking. He's been raised from the dead. He spent time with the disciples. And just before He ascends to heaven, He gives one last command. And He says this in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the mission. What's your purpose in life? Well, you're going to have your own unique approach, your own part of the kingdom you're building. But ultimately, every one of us, if you call yourself a Jesus follower, this is what we're called to. That we are those who are called to connect people to what? A life-changing relationship with Jesus. Not a response to Jesus, a life-changing relationship with Jesus. So that when people come and they're a part of our church family, we need to, you know, what is salvation? What is meeting Jesus, connecting to Jesus? It is both a moment where I say, yes, Jesus, I give you my life. And then it's a lifetime of becoming more like Christ. And church, I just want to remind some of us today in the room, if you call yourself a Christian, If you call yourself a Jesus follower, this is our mission. The gospel must spread. Whatever else we do whilst we're here on earth is not going to have the eternal consequences that sharing the gospel will. You can be kind to someone, you can feed someone, you can encourage someone, but if you have not shared the gospel with them, then it's not going to matter in a billion years' time. Because eternity is at stake. This is our mission. Why did we include relentless reaching in our DNA? Because this is our mission. This is what we're about, church family. Let me even say it explicitly this way. If you join this church because you like the size that it is today, I think you're going to be disappointed in a year's time. Please don't join us because, listen, we are always going to, even as we grow, we're going to build small church. Guess what it's called? Community groups. We're always going to build small. As we grow large, we're going to build small. But please don't tell me we don't have community if you don't go to community groups. Those are the people who always tell me, yo, we need to do more. Which community group are you in? Oh, you know, I just... Please. We are putting food on the table. You're telling me you're hungry, but you won't pick up your fork. If you want community, we're always going to have space for community. We're always going to have space for people to be cared for and loved. The amount of work we put into as pastors in our church, not just Meg and I, but other pastors who are caring for people and supporting people in their marriages and supporting people into one-to-one contact, doing so much. We're always going to be doing that stuff. But let's not ever think, oh, I love the size of this church today. You're going to hate it in a year's time. Because there are more people, this is our mission. The gospel must spread. There are people who need hope. And as for me, I'm not gonna shut the door because we're happy where we are today and say, oh, these people drowning outside, they need hope. Sorry, we're happy how we are. That's never gonna be our story. Why? Because relentless reaching is at the heart of who we are. That we are a church who is passionate about everyone outside of ourselves. I want to encourage you today, church. Get a heart for the people in your lives. Get a heart for the people in your community. Get a heart for the people in your family. Get a heart for the friends around you. Pray for them, encourage them. Let me ask you, what can you do this week to encourage somebody? What can you do this week to bring a message of hope to somebody? Maybe your next step today is just saying, Jesus, I want you to grow a passion for sharing the message of hope with others in my life. Just start praying. But can I encourage us? Let's take a next step this week. There are people in your life who need what? Your testimony, your story. Be like the man who was set free. And he begged Jesus, can I come with you? And Jesus said, no, you go in the power that you've been given. Go and tell others about what I've done for you. May we be a church who is so in love with those who Jesus loves that we would go and tell a message of hope to those around us. So can I leave you with one final thought? I want to encourage us with this, church. Be relentless. Our DNA is relentless reaching. I want to encourage you to be relentless. What does relentless mean? When it's tough, I'm going to keep going. When I'm a bit bored, I'm going to keep going. The image we have in our DNA for relentless reaching is it's the wave. Because we want to be as relentless. The tide is always going to keep coming in. The waves are always going to keep coming in. Doesn't matter how they feel, they're going to keep coming. I want to encourage us as a church. May we take that same response, that same posture in how we share a message of hope with others. So why do we care? Because because eternity is at stake. We care because we want to see the fullness of life now. And we care because this is our mission. The gospel must spread. If you want to become a disciple of Jesus, then by acknowledging what he's done in you, you're going to become effective in sharing a message of hope. Can I pray for us, church? Jesus, thank you so much that you are continuing to build the culture of who we are as a church. You're continuing to build and strengthen our DNA. Jesus, I pray over every person in this room today who calls themselves a Christian. Lord, would you stir within us a deeper passion, a greater boldness, a desire to become discipled into the sharing of our faith. Lord, may we set aside those questions of, are we the discipleship or the evangelism? Lord, may we step into the fullness of both, knowing that when we do that, we're going to see many come to know you. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray for a boldness to take hold of the hearts of the people of this church.